All right, Kevin Barker. So how do you judge Alek Manoah's outing tonight? What do you make of what we saw or what we didn't see, given we were, I think, in our heart of hearts, kind of expecting this upward trajectory to continue as he attempts to rebound from, let's face it, what was a lot, basically a loss 2023. What did you make of it tonight?
Yeah, I think, the mechanics were a little erratic. The release point was a little off. I mean, he was 16 for 22 throwing strike one. He gave up a couple of home runs to lefties off the changeup right to location in his last couple of starts. That was down. It had late movement to it. The change of speeds, the difference between his fastball and his changeup speed was really good. The movement, the location was better. His sinker was in the zone 30% of the time. It's just not good enough, right? I understand that, there's five lefties in the lineup. He's probably wanting to throw more four-seamers to the lefties than he does the two-seamer or the sinker, but you got to be in the zone a little bit more. And we all know, I think, just because of his size, and he's never been a perfect mechanics guy, right? He's going to be a little all over the place, especially arm side, right arm's playing a little catch up. He misses up and away. I'm just very confused about why he wasn't throwing hard. Can you explain that to me? Everything was about a mile and a half hour slower than it normally is. Why is that? You could get away with some bad pitches if he had the extra gear. Where was the extra gear at? That for me, the other parts of it, you could understand sort of, just because, it's Alek Manoah. That's what goes with it, right? He's more of a want to throw it to the big part of the plate and let it move instead of that perfect mechanics, locating it, dotting it down and away. But I still don't understand lack of velocity. Explain that to me, Jeff, because I don't have an answer for it.
That surprised me. As you said, velocity was down across the board. I mean, Lord knows it's not as if he's been overworked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to read. This is going to sound really stupid. I don't know what to read into velocity with Alek Manoah. I just don't, because it seems to me that quite often, even when he was going well, he would have games and you would look at the velo, you'd go, okay, it's okay, but it's not great. I don't know what role velo plays with Alek Manoah.
Yeah, I think he's trying to find himself with the secondary stuff, right? He wants to sprinkle in some changeups. He's not always going to be perfect with that pitch. The extra gear with the fastballs will allow him to get away with things, right? 92, I can let that travel. Mm-hmm. 94, I got to get that geared up, right? For whatever reason, his 94 plays up. And tonight it just was more 92s than 94s. And that part of it, I just don't understand. It just didn't look like he had a little extra at the end. And he's had that in the last couple of starts, and that part of it, I just, was it lack of energy? Was it, just the force of, when he lifts the leg, pushing off the rubber like that? That for me, you can excuse the other parts of it, the not being mechanically sound and missing arm side. Like when he's not having a good game, Jeff, that's where he misses. Mm-hmm. He misses arm side.
You've
right?
talked about some that
the,
all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Some of those pitches that he throws is very non-competitive, right? It's out of the hand. He's taking it. That's why the pitch count goes way up. He don't go deep in game. But again, why 92? It's just that part of it I just don't understand. I understand he's trying to throw more four-seamers, because the sinker, he just couldn't keep in the zone. 30% of the time is not good enough. That thing needs to be closer to 60%. That's why you're seeing more four-seamers than two-seamers. But, geez, man, get the extra gear, have a little bit more energy, and get after the velocity, and then maybe you could get away with a bad slider or a bad changeup. And, again, it's not the end of the world. He didn't score any runs. I mean, Kenta Maeda was sort of pitching backwards with the slider and keeping the lineup off balance. And, when you add and subtract to a lineup like the Blue Jays, you're probably going to get them out. And that's what a smart guy did. That's what I said to you. When they made the change, they sent the other guy down. I said to you, it's not an easy get. Mm-hmm. On our show, this dude knows how to add and subtract. He knows how to pitch the weaknesses. He used the slider to set up the split change and the four-seamer. That's smart, right? That's called pitching, not throwing. And, again, you do that to a lineup like the Blue Jays. Even though they've been hot the last couple of days, you can roll right through them. So, Yeah, you know, again, he had some bad luck there in the fourth inning with plays not made. The little weird miscommunication in the outfield that you rarely see. I don't even know how to explain
that.
Well,
I was gonna ask you. I'm going to throw out the numbers first. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays 6-2 losers to the Detroit Tigers tonight. Third game of that series goes to Moore at 12:35. Fourth game, a reminder, is an 11:35. First pitch on Sunday. It's part of baseball's Roku package, but we will have the game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. So it's not like the Apple games. We will have your regular Sportsnet crew covering that game. But I do want to talk about that fourth inning, Kevin. The fly ball off the bat of Vierling. You know, look, I was going to ask you, what's the rule? I don't know if there's a rule in that play. Generally, you say the center fielder gets the ball. The center fielder in this case, Kevin Kiermaier, probably got a better arm than Dalton Varsho. But my goodness, he had to run a long way to get to that ball. And it seemed to me as if it would have been an easier play for Varsho.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, it's how much ground KK had to cover. It's the communication that Varsho's a hungry guy, right? He wants to catch everything. And, you know, that's sort of one of those plays where it's probably never going to happen again. It was, you got it, I got it, I'll take it, nobody's getting it. Like, it's sort of one of just those plays where it's perfectly placed, and it's one of those innings where, you know, Alec had, what do you have, a 7-pitch walk before that. He had four pitches with two strikes. Like, you know, it could have went a little bit easier in that inning. It just seemed like, you know, and then the IKF play where I'd love to see him backhand that. I understand why he didn't, because there's traffic on the bases and you want to keep the ball in front of you, but he's a elite defender at third base. Like, I'd love to see him sort of set his feet, stop his feet, backhand that thing and throw a bullet to wherever he wants to throw it. But that's me. I understand, again, he's trying to keep to stay out of the big inning by keeping the ball in front of him, but you got to trust that backhand. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to see him use that backhand, but again, it's just one of those innings, right, where dudes sort of all over the place fighting and clawing, and you need everybody to make the plays when they're supposed to be making them. And, you know, it's sort of a way that I think the Blue Jay season's been a little bit, where they get on a little bit of a roll and then sort of an inning happens. Not so much a game, it's an inning. And, you know, again, you just sort of – you're not going to win every one of them, Jeff. Like, yep. This is – you know, you win the series. Win the next two, you get out of there winning 3 out of 4. You go to Pittsburgh, you take care of business, and you're still where you need to be.
The Blue Jays scored a couple of runs in the ninth inning. They did have the tying run on deck when Andrew Chafin got the Jason Foley got the final out. But way too little, way too late, as the Blue Jays fall 6-2 to the Detroit Tigers. 416-870-0590. Star 590, 1-888-666-0590. The numbers to call, as always. So, if you were Alec Manoah, and you've done a good job breaking it down, what does he take away from this? What do the Jays want Alec Manoah to take away from this, Kevin? Do you just simply like rinse it, forget about it, or do you want them, or do you want him to maybe use it as a bit of a checkpoint?
Yeah, I think you got to, again, go to Pete Walker, the pitching coach, and ask, why is the velocity down? I mean, the weather's nice. He hadn't pitched a ton, coming off two really, really good starts. Velocity was there in all of his pitches. He wanted the extra gear. He had the extra gear. Why was that not there today? Is that all mechanical, or is it something else? I would start there. If he takes care of the consistent velocity, I do think with the two fastballs, he can get away with some of the other pitches sort of being all over the place. And, you know, again, he's been through a lot. Like, I don't think this is going to derail what he's trying to do or he's going to end up at the end of the season. I just think sometimes, right, you need to – when you lose because you're doing it the right way. And I just think today, because of the lack of velocity and – you know, he tried to work through it. He tried to get bigger behind the plate. I mentioned that today on our show, where you got to make his target big. Like, you want that starting in a place and ending up where he wants it to end up. You can't get tiny back there if you're the catcher, meaning you can't get closer to the hitter. You got to give him a big target. They were trying to mix it up and be unpredictable and catch him out front, throw more sliders and those kind of things. I just think get back, try to find the velocity. Be consistent with that, whether that's, you know, still work on your conditioning, work on your arm speed, work on your release point. Make sure you finish the best you can finish more consistently. I think if he does those things, everything else will probably take care of itself.
Let's hear from the manager, John Schneider, on Alek Manoah's outing.
You know, I thought today he, it's going to sound a little funny, I thought he threw the ball well. he had a really good slider. He had good fastball early. We talked before about his changeup being important today, and you know, two were hit for home runs that he left up in the zone. But I thought he did a good job of navigating. I mean, we normally make those plays, you know, that behind him in that inning too, and I thought he did a good job. It's a weird hit-by-pitch to Keith there, kind of hit his shoelace. You know, it was just kind of a weird inning and uncharacteristic of us defensively, but I thought overall Alek, you know, he was better than what the line shows for sure.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. So that's the manager's breakdown of Alek Manoah's outing. And I think, you know, it is important to touch on the plays not made in that inning because, Kevin, as you said, you know, look, he's come a fairly long way from where he was last year when things weren't going well for him. But he's still not over the hump, I don't think, when it comes to being completely efficient. And I just, you know, there's just too many pitches to get out of that jam. And then, you know, honestly, I don't know about you, Kevin, but I think the fifth inning was predictable. Like I at some point I figured there would be a home run there. I just did. Yeah. I thought it was predictable.
Yeah, he walks a struggling hitter and Kana, and then he throws the change up a little middle up and a good left-handed hitter hits a home run. Like, it's sort of that. Yeah, I guess you could say that's predictable. Look, I just think it's self-correcting on the mound, right? That's his work in progress is when you're missing arm side, you're not, you know, releasing it where you want to release it consistently. How do you self-correct, not do it a ton, right? And give yourself the best chance of getting, quite frankly, not a real good lineup out. Like, it's, you know, even though the dudes didn't make the plays behind you, he's been good enough lately to work his way through a bad lineup. And I just think, me personally, the inconsistency of the velocity of the two fastballs today sort of did him in.
John Schneider was also asked about that play involving Dalton Varsho and Kevin Kiermaier, the error in the fourth inning, which really kind of sent Alek Manoah into a spiral.
Yeah, I mean, you got two elite outfielders going after it. You know, I think it was more so KK trying to be aggressive, you know, and try to make the throw home to get green. And just, you know, it's very rare for those guys to miscommunicate. You know, it's the best outfield in Major League Baseball. So it was just one of those balls that was in a, you know, a perfect spot for them and not so much for Varsho and KK.
And I think that's probably the best explanation we're going to get.
Yeah.
On that play.
I mean, I don't think you can add anything to that. I just think, again, it's 50 games into the season. Balls that should be caught, catch them.
Yeah, although, this defense has been pretty good.
He's exactly right. It's the best outfield in baseball.
Yeah.
The best outfield in baseball catches lollipop fly balls with traffic on the bases to help a struggling pitcher out on the mound. I'm sure if you walk up to Kiermaier and say, "Should you caught that ball?" He said, "I'll catch it 40 times out of 30. And he's exactly right. So, yeah, again, I'm sure it'll never happen again.
Let's go to Brad and Barry. You're on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey guys. I listened to you, and I agree. Like, Manoah just didn't seem like he came out with the passion he needed to tonight. And you have an error that impacts it all that. But again, it's a team loss. Like, the Jays, really, in a game that they need to win, they must win these games because it's happening in every series. There's something or other. But one thing is for sure, the Jays are not scoring the runs that they need to. Like, in a game like this, they got to pin their ears back, and they just got to outscore Detroit. Like, they've got to find a way. But with this offense, it just seems this up and down moments. And, you know, this puts them four games back. You know, I get it. You all say it's early, but you see a pattern here with this team, and it's really, they seem, you know, reluctant to be able to get to that point where they, you know, can outscore a team that they should in a meaningful game.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for the call. I mean, I don't think that there was any, lack of intent necessarily in this game. I just, I think Kenta Maeda pitched pretty well. But yeah, look, this is a team that scored nine runs in each of its last two games. And while I don't expect the Blue Jays to score nine runs every game, and while, again, this just kind of reinforces the old adage, right, that there is really no such thing as momentum in baseball. Momentum in baseball is the next day's starting pitcher. It doesn't matter. You could have the hottest hitting offense in baseball. If you come in and Kenta Maeda does to you today what he did, you're not going to win the game. I don't know, Kevin. I looked at the lineup. I looked at the at bats. I don't know. I didn't really see anything out of the ordinary there. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Vladdy hadn't been thrown out and the Jays had managed to get that early lead. I mean, I don't know if it would have made a huge difference, but that was really, just looking at my scorecard, I mean, that was really their best chance right until the eighth inning, and then the ninth inning when they finally did score. They really didn't have anything else going on.
Yeah, look, I think we can continue to say that they're a batter too short. Like, they've had three or four really good games, or, a couple of guys in the middle of that order that we were expecting to get off to hot starts have finally shown up, right? And Vladdy and Bo, and starting to drive baseballs the big part of the field. And Danny's had a solid year, and Varsha has been hitting some home runs. But, if you get a guy on the mound who can add and subtract, and you really got to have a game plan honed in when you walk to the plate, that sometimes is just, maybe not their strength. It's more of, that guy makes a mistake and then I hammer it, and another guy hammers it, and that's how they win a baseball game. It's not so much you're wearing that dude out, because if, he's going to have to pitch to your weakness. He's going to have to make that perfect pitch. I mean, Maeda made some good pitches, Jeff, but was he perfect? Like, he hadn't subtracted really well. I said that to you today. Like, this is sort of the most frustrating guys. It's guys that are smart, been around forever, don't throw very hard, got a really good secondary pitch, going to use it to set up the other pitches, can pitch to your weakness. Like, you better be honed in. You better know what you don't want to swing at. If you don't, it's going to be 6-0 in the ninth inning.
416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. We will take a break and go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. Still got a few more minutes to squeeze in a couple of calls. The Jays 6-2 losers to the Detroit Tigers tonight. Game 3 of the series tomorrow is a 12:35 first pitch. Sunday, an 11:35 first pitch. And then the Jays are off to Chicago to take on the White Sox in an afternoon game for Memorial Day. Greg in Niagara Falls, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? So the question I had is Turner. He's been struggling quite a bit, and those numbers are way down. What are they basically, do you think they're going to do if he continues to struggle? Because if they get this team turned around, or the offense, they're still going to want to build around Springer for the most part, and Bowen, Vladdy. So I just want, and Jansen, by the way, is no answer to this team. I don't think he's a good player, but not a good hitter. I'll hang up and listen to the your answer. Thanks.
I mean, I don't know. I think since opening day 2022, he's got the best OPS of any catcher in baseball. I mean, I'm not ready to say that Danny Jansen's an all-star, but I think he's an okay offensive player. I really do think he's an okay offensive player. Frankly, I think he might end up being a type of guy who could turn into on a really good team, a guy who could even do some DHing for you and maybe catch, doesn't have to be your number one guy. He can catch two or three times a week. Justin Turner, Kevin, I think we agree. Now, tonight notwithstanding, I think we agree that he looked a lot better the last couple of times we'd seen him at the plate.
Yeah, look, I think his timing was spotty. Like that's sort of, you know, again, we have no idea what that issue when he got sick, you know, how bad that was, what that's done to bat speed and, you know, just his approach mentally and physically at the plate. Can he put both of them together and go up and actually have a quality of bat? Looks to me like time is getting a little better. He's catching it out front. I'll say this. He's missing a bunch of fastballs. Like you ain't going to have success at this level unless you're going to hit the heater. And lately he ain't been hitting the heater. So that for me, you kick your leg to your ear. You better get your foot down on time. You better be able to try and catch that thing out front. And, you know, he's trying to have an uppercut. When you got an uppercut in your swing, you got to be almost perfectly on time. And he hadn't been that way. So that's why you see all the foul balls that he hits are over the first base dugout, because he's just not on time. So yeah, what are they going to do? Who knows? Like if they lose some games in a row here, you know, probably Justin Turner would be, you know, in the middle of the pack of what you're thinking about who's going where, I would think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, he is here on a 1-year deal, and you know, the Jays, I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't come out and say it, but I thought when the acquisition was made, first of all, as you, I thought, okay, that's good. Who else is coming in? Yeah. But I also thought that he was acquired with the idea that he might be somebody you might be able to turn over at the trade deadline. You know, somebody, he'd be a nice, hey, this, he could be a Steve, he's a better hitter than Steve Pierce was, but think about what Steve Pierce did. He was traded late in the year, went on to win an MVP with the,
39 though,
with the Boston Red Sox. He is 39 and, you know, you were the first one. I remember when the signing was made, you said, this is great. They could use another Justin Turner, but you also said it may be a lot to ask a guy to have back-to-back career years at the age of 38 and 39, especially given what were we talking about with Jeff Passan today, especially given how velo is so predominant in the game right now and how hard it is to hit.
Yeah, we've seen him cheat to get the elevated fastballs. I mean, he had a home run doing it that way. Like, that's what you have to do when you're 39. Like, things just ain't as quick as it used to be, man. That's just, you know, it's life. You got to be smarter. You got to be real honed in on what you're not swinging at. And right now, he's late. Like, that's the gist of it. You either got to cheat a little bit or, you know, you change a little bit of your approach of what you're trying to do with your lower half. I ain't there yet. I mean, the 0 for 30, I mean, sometimes I think you got to be a little stubborn when you're 0 for, and he's been around long enough to understand that. You know, there's some other guys struggling too. You know, I think push comes to shove, you don't hit him in the middle of the order. That'd probably be that'd be your first step.
Yep.
Is, you know, you're moving other guys in front of him that are probably going to give you a better at-bat in that situation, especially with traffic on the bases. But
and I've also,
they're going to need him, Jeff. They're going to need him to do something.
Well, and I've also got to say this. I mean, for the longest time, he was pretty much isolated in that lineup. You think back to when he was going hot. He was the only guy hitting, literally, on some nights, the only guy hitting. And, I mean, I don't care how good you are. If you're not getting any, at some point, the other team just says, well, we're just not going to give you anything to hit.
Or the khakis go, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to elevate the ball down. Okay, let's see if you can do that in the elevated fastball.
Yep.
And now they're throwing a bunch of stuff up. They're crowding him. Like, again, it's a league of adjustments. It's just harder to make those in your 30s, late 30s, and think you're going to catch up to power in quadrants. It's just, I mean, that ain't easy for a young kid to do. I can't imagine trying to do it when you're 39. So, yeah, I mean, he's not going to be as bad as he looks now, and he'll figure some things out, and he'll end up getting some big hits for him.
So there you go, 6-2, the Toronto Blue Jays have lost to the Detroit Tigers. It is the second game of a 4-game series. We'll get to do it again tomorrow, a 12:35 first pitch, 11:35 on Sunday, and then the Jays are off to Chicago to take on the White Sox on Memorial Day, and then they're back home to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates next weekend when we will see the grand unveiling, I do believe, of the City Connect jerseys.
Yep.
Which everybody seems to be worked up about.
Me too. I'm pumped.
You're such a cynic.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. You said me too. I'm pumped.
I'm fine. What do you want me to do? Take car? I mean, if I were wearing it and actually on the team, I'd be jacked.
Okay.
But I'm, you know, I'm talking about it. And
all right.
It would help if they get it down and get it singing a little bit more. I mean, that'd be nice.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice if the home run jacket made a few more appearances too. Ooh. Before the City Connectors. Yeah, I missed
almost forgot about that jacket. Oh, almost forgot
never
about
gonna
that
forget
jacket.
About the home run jacket. 6-2 the Blue Jays have lost the Detroit Tigers. They'll do it again tomorrow. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Plessyville and Victoriaville, Quebec. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.